Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed. Second to none. And the Brewers Outlet specials. Now through Tuesday, Bud and Bud Light, 18-pack cans, just $10.47. Modelo, 12-pack bottles, just $13.95. Stegmeier Oktoberfest, 24-pack bottles, just $22.97. Stock up for your tailgate now. It's going to be a blast this weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Jay Paterno in a few moments. First of all, our play-by-play call today. Wow, that Rams-Vikings game was fun last night, in part because Jared Goff threw five touchdown passes.
Goff starts under center, now backs up into the shotgun. They've got three tight ends in this formation. Goff now empty as he takes the shotgun snap. Looking over the middle, he throws down the left seam. Caught by the fingertips. Whoa. Robert Woods breaks into the end zone. And Jared Goff has thrown his fifth touchdown pass of the night.
That really was, it was an amazing game. Almost every Thursday night game I've watched, it's always been like watching dental work. Okay? Last night, I thought, you know, this has a chance to be a really good game. And it was a really good game. I enjoyed that game last night. That was one of those nights where there was no hint on my part that I was going to turn over to the college game. None. Rams finally won it. They're now 4-0. The Vikings are now 1-2-1. And that was courtesy of the Rams radio network last night. All right. Earlier today here in the Sunbury Motors studio, a chance to sit down with Jay Paterno with the cruise coming up in March, but we also talk some football.
Oh, no question.
Sadowski, it's like when we do this segment at the end called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Now, this week, I think Todd had the ugly, right?
He had the ugly, and he took...
I had bad.
Yes.
No, I had good this
you
week.
You had good. I had bad.
You had bad. You had the mascots. Okay. Did you hear about the mascot thing? Bob, you got to hear this story, right? Because he did the thing on the mascots, and you're going to see it on the show tonight. But it was Colorado.
The Colorado Buffalo had the, not the one that runs out with the team, but
yeah,
you
know, not the Ralph, not
suit.
Ralphie,
not
yeah.
Ralphie.
This is Benny the Buffalo.
So he's holding the t-shirt gun to shoot t-shirts out without realizing it's aimed right at him, and it's also aimed right at his crotch. And he shoots himself in the crotch and buckles over, and they took him off on the cart,
on the injury cart. They took the mascot out. Then there was the BYU Cougar.
Yeah, he did. He came off a trampoline and did a somersault in the air, and his head came off. the helmet, not his actual,
yeah,
not
the helmet
guy inside
did.
His head, but
yeah, how horrifying for young kids in Provo to see the mascot. Oh, now the one he didn't mention was the new mascot of the Philadelphia Flyers. He's out there again with the air gun, okay, to shoot t-shirts into the crowd, and he's on skates. Shocking recoil. Flies back. Sorry about that. He flies back onto the ice like, oh, mackerel. So, yeah, not a great week for mascots.
No.
Not a great week. Hey, tell us a little bit about this cruise that's going to be happening. Let's start with when and then the concept of
March 4th to the 8th.
Okay.
And it's going out of Port Canaveral, which is just east of Orlando.
Yeah.
And it's going to the Bahamas, and there's a bunch of former players on the boat. You got Michael Robbins, you got Franco Harris, the whole boat is Penn State people.
Wow,
everybody! It's not one of those where we got like 200 of the boat. It's all us. So
right.
You're not going to deal with any jerks from other schools or anybody who doesn't like us. It's all going to be people that right. We know and like. And you know, Ohio State's been doing this for about that school we're playing tomorrow night. Ohio State's been doing this for a while to raise money for charity.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's one of those things that you talk to people that go on it and they say it's the best week of their life.
Yeah.
They have a great time because it's all fellow Buckeyes. Now, Penn State people are a lot more fun than Ohio State people. So
well, that's for sure.
Our crews will automatically be more fun. My mom is the captain. She's not actually steering the ship, but she's the captain. Russ Rose is going on the ship
cool.
too. So I'm sure customs will check his bags for Cuban cigars when he comes back from the Bahamas. Sorry, Russ, didn't mean to out you on that. But yeah, Franco Harris is going to go on and. You know, talk about Franco Harris. Anybody watch the people said it was the greatest play in the history of the NFL.
Right.
I mean, it really was. Yeah. And so it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and it's gonna benefit Pennsylvania Special Olympics as our charity,
of course.
And everybody knows my mom's been involved with that for many years. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be really a great Penn State trip, and everybody can have a great time. And hopefully, we'll be celebrating another great season here as well. We'll find out tomorrow.
Is there a limit on the number of people that can go in this, or is it pretty open-ended? I don't know how this works.
As many as the ship holds, and I don't know what the number is, but...
We're listing!
So, I mean, it's... So, like I said, we're only limited by how many people we can allow us to take with us, so... Hopefully we have a problem where, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, we got to take 2 ships and then we race, or we go opposite Ohio State and race their boat and we'll win as always.
In fact, what is it, that old line from Roy Scheider and Jaws? You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, we're going to need a bigger boat. That's right. We're
going to need a bigger boat. We got too many people.
As long as we're not sitting around telling the story of the USS Indianapolis.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's a great scene. Great scene in Jaws.
It is a great scene because... Remember what the chief does? They're telling their stories. He looks down at his appendectomy scar.
Yeah. Well, you know, that movie was... I was, I think, 8 when that came out.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid of sharks, I would not go in the deep end in the natatorium.
Oh.
Because I'm like, I know there's something down there. I was 7 when it came out. I'm like, I know there's something... You could not convince me there were not sharks in the deep end of the natatorium up at Penn State.
Yeah. Okay, this game coming up tomorrow. Let's talk about that a little bit, then we'll get back to the crews a little bit later. Let's talk about quarterback play, first of all. You do the film room on the show.
Yep.
When you have been able to look at the film of Dobbins, Haskins and how he throws the ball, what do you see in his footwork, sight lines, and arm strength?
He's a pro quarterback. I mean, the one thing about it is when you look at the guys Ohio State has had, JT Barrett wasn't a guy you looked at and said, that's a can't-miss guy. Troy Smith, you said he could play at that level, but he's not that can't-miss guy. This is a guy that could go to the NFL and throw the ball regularly and be a, you know, he's a guy that, you know, as a Penn State fan selfishly, I hope he has a great season, not tomorrow, but the rest of the season, and then he's done, like he goes.
He's a redshirt sophomore. Right. He is in his third year. People don't realize that.
I mean, Ohio State fans tomorrow will feel like Penn State fans have felt for the last 3 years, like JT Barrett's still there. And Ohio State fans are going, Trace McSorley is still there.
Yep.
We're not doing that 2 years from now with Haskins, because he's very confident. When you talk to Ohio State guys, they tell you that he is very cool.
Yep.
Not a lot of ups and downs. Yeah. And, you know, I was at the Ohio State Michigan game last year at Ann Arbor. And he came in when the game was on the line and hit 7 of 8 or whatever it was, and looked like, I was like, oh my God, Michigan guy's going, why did we knock Barrett out of the game? We didn't want this guy in here. So I think he's really a tremendous, tremendous talent.
Yeah, Jack and I were watching that game in the booth at Maryland.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other like, okay, why isn't this guy playing more?
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect to a guy that was a great leader at Ohio State and JT Barrett. Now, when you look at McSorley and his development, where is he better as time has gone?
I think, you know, the thing I thought was really interesting I think he's obviously made a lot of great strides, but, you know, he's got something about him that you want on the field. He's got something about him. When the tougher it gets, the more focused he is, the better leader he becomes, and the better plays he makes. You know, I've talked to guys that have looked at him, NFL guys. You know, the arm strength isn't necessarily NFL first round guy. You know, like I've seen Baker Mayfield play live,
sure,
and his arm strength as opposed to McSorley's is different. Yeah. But, you know, there's a great – I don't know if you saw the Heisman House ad with Baker Mayfield.
I did, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Where he's pulling in
Tebow
with all his
comes
gear.
In with like a small bag, and, yeah. then Mayfield comes in with that truckload. He goes, yeah, I got a lot of baggage. I mean, there's no baggage with McSorley. And he's a guy that's going to make a play to win. You know, everybody, you know, if you go back, you know, to 2016, coming off that Michigan game, they're in trouble against Minnesota. And I remember saying to my brother-in-law watching the game, I said, they're going to, as soon as they lined up a man-to-man on third down, I said, McSorley's going to take off, get a first down. We're going to overtime.
Yeah.
And sure enough, because he recognized it, saw it.
Right.
So, I mean, his the development of him is just a complete awareness of defenses and those kind of things. And I think one of the challenges tomorrow will be if Penn State plays with tempo, if you look at Ohio State versus Rutgers.
Right.
They didn't play with tempo. They disguised coverages about as well as you're ever going to see anybody.
Right.
They're really complex packages. TCU got in tempo. Ohio State couldn't do that
right.
because they got to get lined up. And if Penn State plays it, I think that may help them tomorrow with some of that.
Yeah, there was Christian Hackenberg was the quarterback, and they drove down. Penn State did inside the 10-yard line. And Ohio State absolutely disguised the coverage and fouled him up.
Yep.
And it ended up being an interception because, hey, it's the red zone. He thought it was going to be one thing, and they disguised it in such a way where they gave him a false pre-read. Boom.
Well, you know, in 2012, McGloin threw that interception coming of our own end, and they lined up. They came in. They showed blitz. He checks the play, and I said, oh, man, they're dropping it too deep.
Right, and they did.
And Shazier, pretty good football player. I think it was Shazier.
It was Shazier.
He drops underneath it, picks it off, and takes him touchdown. I said, oh, they got him. They're good at that, and Shiano is really good at that. But, you know, I think you'll see man-to-man out of them tomorrow with some spies on the quarterback, and people have beaten them one-on-one. I mean, in the secondary,
that's right.
They've been beaten. You know, TCU got behind them and stuff. So, you know, it's going to be I don't think it'll be a 17-10 game.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right. You've obviously coached in a lot of whiteouts here. So when you've come out of that tunnel, you're expecting something.
Yeah.
What has always struck you about it when you've come out of the tunnel yourself and you've, you know, for pregame work? Because I think you, for the most part, you were usually up in the booth, but you had to come out now pregame on the field. What was that like?
It is, I think it was Stuart Mandel after the 08 Illinois game talked about, he was writing about it, and he said, if you own an electronics company and you want to sell HD TVs, get a tape of this game and show it because it looks unbelievable. He said every other school should just stop trying. Penn State owns this. Don't do it. It is when you're on the field and that student section is full of white, it looks even bigger than it is. You know, they say white makes you look bigger or fatter or whatever. I don't know what it is, but it makes a stadium look bigger.
You know,
so
somewhere in blue. Yeah.
but you know, there's an electricity in the air because it's a night game.
Yeah.
The way the lights hit the white and the pom-poms and all that stuff.
Right.
It's really something to see. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, I don't care what they're charging the StubHub. If you're a college football fan, you got to get to one of these times.
You were telling the story about talking with Dan Cilio, who's, I think Dan's in San Diego.
Yeah,
now,
San
right?
Diego.
Yeah. And talking about what is originally Paternoville is now named Nittanyville. You got to tell a story about how you found out that it was actually. I was like,
"Yes,
you're doing what?"
Yeah, so we beat Minnesota the day before, killed them, and they were undefeated. They were ranked. We weren't ranked, and so there was a lot of excitement coming out of the game.
Yeah,
so,
they were ranked 18th.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm driving home about 11:30 on Sunday night from the office, and I come. I was living in Toftrees at the time, so I come around the corner, and there's about 8 or 9 tents there, and I stop the car, and I'm looking. I'm going, you know, why are there tents outside the stadium? And, you know, as smart as I am, it took me about a minute and a half. I'm like, oh, my God, they're camping out for Saturday. And so I didn't move. I picked up the phone, called Guido D'Elia. I said, Guido, you're not going to believe this. They're already here. He goes, who's already here? I said, I'm looking at 8 or 9 tents outside the stadium right now. He goes, wait a minute, where are you? I said, the student section. They're camping. He goes, oh, my God. Okay, look, I'm going to make some calls. You got to make this a story before risk management moves them.
That's true.
Exactly true. He goes, we can't, because, you know, if they get wind of this. So he called people Sunday night, Monday morning, and people came up, took photos. It became a story, and by noon, it was like The scene, what was the movie, Far and Away? It was like that. Like students just sprinting across campus to get, you know, to get their spots. And, you know, it's big now, but it's not as big as it was then, because they actually, tents went all the way to the tunnel.
I know.
And all the way down past the statue and that area, and because there were no rules. It was total chaos. Right. And, which made it awesome. I mean, because, you know, so the next year it was, we got to have a faculty advisor, we got to have this, we got to have that. Right. And they thought it would go away.
Right.
And all it did is it just set it in stone. Right. So they said, oh, okay, good. Well, we got this paternal villagers group, and we're going to camp out next year, and here's how we're going to allot this, and if it thunders, we do that. Like, they put all the rules in to make sure it never goes away, which is good. That's you know.
I think, with all due respect to all the great people in academia here, and this is an awesome academic school, and a Penn State degree means so much. There are also certain elements of, quote, college that you'll never forget. This is one of them if you participate in it.
Oh, no question. And, you know, the first year, you know, that year, we went up there and we took some players up because we felt like, you know, they should go up and, you know, do stuff. And just to show their appreciation. And we walked in this guy and they had like three big tents put together, and he had found an outlet and had run an extension cord and another extension cord into one of those strips, and he had eight or nine things plugged in, and he had his PlayStation and his TV and a... He had a Lazy Boy, an end table, and a lamp.
So it looked like the Grange Fair.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly right. So he's there playing PlayStation. I'm like, wait a minute. Where is this coming from? He goes, don't tell anybody. Now, there was no Wi-Fi or anything, but then like there is now. But, I mean, you know, but they would take shifts, and they would go to class. Somebody would go to class from 1 to 144, you know, 110, 105 to 155, make the class. And then, you know, somebody would, but they always made sure somebody was there. Because that was the rule. Somebody always had to be there in your group.
The TV show. What are some of the items when you sit down to plan out the film room segment? Okay, because that's the part you've been doing for a while. Now you're on set, and we got these big, beautiful chairs. Now it's great. How much thought do you put in as to what you want to select and why you want to select it?
Well, I think it comes down to what. You know, every team has something that they kind of hang their hat on. You know, Michigan State is going to pressure corners outside with two safeties, and those safeties can be involved in the run game. And they've been doing that since D'Antonio got there.
Right.
You know, when we get to Michigan State week, it's not that you mail it in. You know what you're going to get.
I mean, they want to unleash the other nine people.
Right.
Okay? And you've got to have really good corners to unleash the other nine people.
Yep. And so you know that coming in. So you have it. But, you know, you watch football every week, and because I know I'm doing those segments, if Michigan State's on week three and we're playing on week seven, I'll still kind of take note of what they're doing. Yeah. You know, so and the idea is, hey, let's give the fans a couple ideas of what they ought to look for, what might be factors in the game. You know, like we talked about this week, Ohio State, they got the double A-gap blitz, and that's a problem because now all of a sudden if Ricky Slade's in there, now we're going to find out what kind of pass protector he is.
Right.
Because they're going to make him block.
And on third down, they blitz about 40 to 45% of the time on third down.
They're pretty aggressive. And, I think what you'll see with them is I think you'll see some you know, man with free safety with a linebacker spying. And you know, I look at the guy that they used to spy against TCU. He's probably a good enough athlete that you would put him on a spy with McSorley.
Was it
39, I think.
Oh, that's Malik Harrison. Yeah. And he, of all the linebackers they have, I think I told you the other day he's the one I like more than the other ones.
Yeah, and you know, if people...
Really good athlete.
Yeah, really good athlete. So, you know, McSorley's going to make a miss, though, I think. But, you know, but he's good enough that if he gets McSorley, he'll get a chance to catch up to him. And you know... When you go back to the 05 game, Paul Posluszny did that for us and ran Troy Smith down
from behind
a bunch of times. Yep. It was just like, oh, God, there he is again. And so I think you'll see that probably out of Ohio State at some point on those third downs. Maybe not necessarily blitz, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Bosa, you don't replace. If you have two Bosas, he'd be on the other end.
Oh.
He'd be playing. Well, nobody's got him.
See, Young is a really, really good prospect. Yep. Really good prospect. I think Cooper's a very good prospect. And I think Jayshon Cornell's a good player.
Yep.
And Smith down the road is going to be really good for them. But this guy's a top five pick. When you have coached against really good defensive ends, what kind of domino effect is it as to how you want to play your run, you know, how you want to use your running back, how you want to use your tight end, things like that?
Well, it impacts every game plan, everything. I'll tell you a funny story. There was a guy named Rasmussen who played at Indiana 2001, I think it was, and was really a good football. He's not a Bosa by any stretch of imagination.
But he was good, though.
But he was the best guy they had, and he was great against the run. And we ran the ball at him one time, and he makes a tackle for a loss. And Joe comes running down to Bill Kenny. He goes, "You tell those guys upstairs, I don't want them running at Rasputin again the rest of the game."
Rasputin.
I go, oh, he means Rasmussen. I go, oh, my God, you know. But, you know, that's part of the thing on game day, too, that I think that when you look at, you go in, you know, when you get ready for the film room, you say, these are things I think you got to look for. But then I go and say, okay, you know, how does the intriguing thing is how does it change during the course of the game?
Right.
You know, what things do you do to influence? And I was telling somebody a story this morning. In 2002, we're playing Michigan State. And you know, they were putting nine guys around the ball because we had Larry Johnson. And they had a guy in the weak side alley. And there was
That worked really well.
Yeah, well, there was this little pitch play. Early on, the guy made a couple plays. But, so there's a little pitch play. We used to you'd fake the fullback front side and pitch it to the tailback on the weak side. And if there was somebody in the alley, he probably was going to stop you. So the guy was sitting in the alley. So Joe comes over and says, "Hey, Franny, tell Jay I want to throw a deep next play." So we go, okay. Yeah, Mills comes off, throws a deep ball to Brian Johnson. He scores.
Yeah.
So we're on defense. We stop them. They come off, and there's a TV timeout. And Joe comes over and says, "Hey, Franny, I want to run the opposite." Franny goes, "Joe, the guy's in the alley. He's going to be sitting there. It's not a good play." And Joe goes, "I'm telling you, we just beat him deep. Safety's going to be deep. They're going to be back. Right. Run.
Run.
And Franny goes, "Oh, they're not going to chase." So Joe goes, "You call it. You run it."
Right.
So he goes over. Larry Johnson's talking to the defensive lineman. Right. He's coaching his guys. And Joe goes, "Hey, Larry, your son's going to go 70 for a touchdown. You might want to come over. Or 80 yards for a touchdown. Right. You might want to come over and watch us." And Larry goes, "Sure enough, we come out of the huddle. Michigan State safeties are back. We pitch it. It goes 77 yards for a touchdown."
Yep.
And Joe walks down. He smirks at Franny. He says, and he walks down to Larry. He goes, "I told you so." And Larry told me that story after the game. And Larry was in tears because he went over 2,000 yards, not on that play, but that in the first half. But, I mean, it was just one of those things. That was the fun of the, you know.
Wow.
That's what happens on game days. People realize you got to adjust.
Well, people ask you, like, how do you handle big calls or whatever? And I said, look, I just ad-lib what happens in front of me. Well, when Larry went over 2,000, I said, he got to the end zone. I said something like 2K for LJ or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You were working on that for 3 weeks. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, that was Jay Paterno earlier today. We need to take a break, and we can't delay the king. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Before you head to the Bloomsburg Fair, stop and get to Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors is going to price all new Fords at a level that makes it impossible to say no. You'll be feeling great driving to the fair in a 2018 Ford Escape for only $18,820. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to continue selling seven Fords a day through the Bloomsburg Fair. Pack up the family in your 2018 Explorer. Explorers start under $30,000 at SMC, and they have 20 to choose from. Every Edge, Focus, Fusion, Fiesta, EcoSport will be discounted for SMC to sell seven new Fords every day through the end of the fair. Sunbury Motors has 70 new F-150s marked down to as low as $25,969 and just announced 0% for 72 months on F-150s. You'll save thousands over the term of your loan. SMC needs seven sales every day through the end of the Bloomsburg Fair. We'll see you at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, and the Brewers Outlet specials to tailgate by through Tuesday. Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, just $10.47. Modelo 12-pack bottles, $13.95. Stegmeier Oktoberfest 24-pack bottles, $24.97. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day and led by the barrels and the dills. The pickle bar is indeed second to none. Go over to Brewers Outlet now. Stock up for your tailgate right now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. The King now joins us.
He sure does. He's taking this well, by the way. He's taking this well so far.
He's got 3-4 months to go.
I said the exact same thing to him. I said, yeah, you're 12-9, but it's all good. We're still in September.
I just haven't felt well.
Okay.
I don't feel good.
Would winning cure you?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
I gotta win. I told John I gotta win.
Steve, you're right. Uncharted territory here.
I mean, he's just used to winning.
He likes the view from where I'm at right now.
Yes. How is life in the penthouse?
Not too bad. Thanks for asking. Yeah.
I got you guys right where I want you.
Well, King, we're trying to think. I can't even think if you were ever in last place. Maybe if you were, it was during our college bowl picks, and you were maybe there for, a 24, 36-hour period, if that? I don't even know if you were ever in third place.
I don't think I was ever in third, but you and me the first year were tied all the way up to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it came down to the last week. I think I won by one game.
Came down to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was right down to the championship game. So,
anybody want to know what it's like to be in the also-ran seat? God.
Yeah, last week swept the decks 5-0. Steve, you were 4-1. Kevin, 3-2. So after 4 weeks, I'm 16-5. Steve, you're 14-7. Kevin, you're 12-9.
Yes. Okay, that's good. That's right where I wanted to be. So, lie. Okay, I'm ready this week.
I was concerned there, that noise. It sounded like you got up out of your chair and you pulled a hammy or something.
Yeah, no. That was a think pull. That was a brain muscle. So. Hey, Steve, you know, remember Pasco's?
Yeah.
The restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now it's called Roberto's, but he came in because I did a lot of work there, and he's going to put candle holders on all his tables.
That's
nice. Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Cool. Very
new
nice.
Style.
How many tables?
Yeah.
How many you got to put together for?
Oh, he got a lot of tables. Seats like 200. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's haunted, too. It's a cool place.
Wow.
There's actually a ghost in there. So, and my friend saw it.
Hmm.
And then my doctor and his wife were there, and they were upstairs in the place, and everything started getting cold, and glasses started moving around, so they left. They had no idea that there was actually a ghost there. And then my friend was at the light right in front of it one morning. He owns a dry cleaners in East Hartford, and all the windows in his Jeep got all like frozen over. So he put the windows down. He looked over at the window of Pasco's, and there was a woman with a veil staring at him out the window. It was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a bunch of definitely haunted.
There's a bunch of dudes that host a show on Travel Channel called Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
They ought to go up there and visit your town. Get to the bottom of this.
Oh, there's another one called Abigail's in Simsbury, and that's definitely haunted. Abigail, it was her house, and she got beheaded there. And the whole restaurant burned down about 10 years ago, and everything burned in the place except her picture. It was just hanging on the wall, perfectly intact. So my friend here, Helmar Wolf, who owns a bunch of restaurants around here, he bought it and rebuilt the whole place. and then they got his picture from the town museum, her picture from the town museum, and rehung it again. But you go, I've done a lot of work in there. These plates freak you out. You know, there's something going on. I could go on and on about ghosts, but whatever. I'm in last place. Who cares? Life is tough when you're at last. That's all I think about.
And all, now we're talking about ghosts of victories past. All right.
This is my whole life. You guys do it for a living. I can't wait for it, and I'm failing. So,
so you're failing, yeah.
And my, the one I wanted to win, Big Brother, lost. It's been a tough week, so whatever. So,
what games do we have?
All right, we got a couple. We got three college and two pro here to jump into. So tomorrow, 12 noon, it is West Virginia at Texas Tech. And since I'm in front, I might as well lead off. I'm going to take I will take West Virginia.
So I'll go last.
You'll go last? You want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking Texas Tech. Their defense has been tough, not great this year, but they shut out Oklahoma State in the second half last week, and Texas Tech got number one offense in the country. I got the flying whatever they are, Texas Tech.
The top two units on the field are the West Virginia offense and the Texas Tech offense.
Right.
So, to me, the determining factor is what's the third best unit in the field, and I actually think it's Tony Gibson's West Virginia defense. I'll go with West Virginia.
Oh, man, I am screwed. I'm telling you.
If you pick it right, you win.
It's like a black hole. Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to sleep.
All right, SEC primetime tomorrow night. It's South Carolina at Kentucky. Kentucky's ranked top 25.
I won't be watching it.
No, you won't. Unless you DVR and catch it Sunday after Mass.
That's not happening.
Okay.
I'm watching it.
I will not be watching it either.
Go ahead.
I will take South Carolina.
Oh, jeez. I got Kentucky.
Where's the game?
It's at Kentucky.
I'll take Kentucky. Let's have some fun.
Okay.
Why? Kentucky's good. They got a great running back.
Kentucky, Duke, and Syracuse, three normally great basketball powers, are all 4-0 and all ranked in the top 25 together for the first time since 1957.
I heard somebody the other day on ESPN say, watch out for Kentucky. They're a very, very good football team this year. Well, don't know much about South Carolina, except they're like supposed to be great, and then they're not. So, I don't know.
I'm just not buying in on Kentucky as of yet. We'll see.
Yep.
Okay. So, and the suit says Kentucky all the way. Okay, fine. Go do your shit game. We have prime time.
Does he know that like the stuff we give him doesn't work and he's actually not in the air?
So that other big ball game tomorrow night, 7:30 out in Indiana, Stanford at Notre Dame. And I'm going to take the Fighting Irish. I just think that 24/7... Stanford was down 24-7 at Oregon last week. I just think that took a lot out of them. They got another game on the road, so one of the reasons why I'm taking Notre Dame.
Good pick at Notre Dame, but this is it for me this year. This is a telltale week. I got Stanford. I think they played a tougher schedule. Notre Dame's only won by single digits in three of the four games, and they really haven't had a tough schedule up till now. And Stanford's played some really good football teams. Well, I'm taking Stanford. I have a reason for my picks, but, man, I'm scared to death here. I'm going to be, like, way in last place if I'm wrong. Go ahead.
We had Todd Blackledge on the show earlier in the week. What, Tuesday? Monday,
yes.
Tuesday?
Yes.
One of those 2 days. And he had Notre Dame over the weekend, and he had a long talk with Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly really loves his defense. And that's why he made the move to Ian Book at quarterback, because he thought he needed to get the offense going. But I'm going to go with Notre Dame defense in this one, pick the Irish.
So we will move to the NFL on Sunday. A couple here to pick. AFC East matchup, Miami and the New England Patriots. I just don't see the Patriots losing two in a row. So I'm going to go with New England.
Is that game at Foxborough?
It is.
Okay.
Who's going? Steve?
You.
Me?
You.
Me? The Patriots have no weapons. And their team, they have a broken locker room. Belichick has traded everybody away. And you're going to have one of their best receivers last year on Miami running around the field. Last night, Cook caught a long touchdown pass. Tom Brady cannot stretch the field. If what's his name was playing, which he's coming back next week, Edelman, that'd be a little bit different for me. But I think Miami wins this game, and New England's in trouble. And I'm going to be in a whole lot of trouble. If Sean runs the table, I'm out.
You've gone against me on every one so far.
You and me are different on every game.
Yeah.
Miami doesn't win in Foxborough. New England.
This is not the typical New England team, boys.
But this is the burning question. Is this truly the beginning of the end of this era in New England?
I think sometimes somebody does too much, and Belichick has made too many moves that don't make any sense whatsoever. It's one thing if you're going to lit. Tom Brady doesn't have any weapons to throw to.
Well, he hasn't in a long time.
He's got a rookie running back. He doesn't have any tools. None. They let them all go. He let the running back go. He let the wide receiver go. He let the quick back back go. He let everybody go. He has no weapons. Oh, I don't know. Got a rookie running back. White is good, but he can't do it all himself. I don't know. I like New England. I hope I'm wrong. So that's I'm taking Miami. Miami's playing well. So,
but I think quite a few are surprised that they're undefeated at this point.
Yeah, they played well.
So Eagle 107 on Sunday afternoon. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tennessee Titans. And last I heard, Marcus Mariota will be back in the lineup for Tennessee.
I'll go first. Eagles next.
Eagles for me, too.
I got Philly. I like Philly. Good football team. Well coached. Very well coached.
Philly.
So maybe I'll go 1-5. Oh, man.
See, I have a feeling you're doing
if
this.
If I go 0-5, I just can't.
See, I have a feeling this is just a front for you. You're just doing this Jedi mind trick reverse psychology kind of deal on us.
I just don't have. I'm absolutely studying the games and everything, and like I do every year, and I just don't have a feel for it.
I'm putting the exact same effort I put in every year.
Well, I was so excited last week. I said I knew Oregon was going to win. I knew it. They're blowing them out. You know, I go to bed, I wake up, they lost. I'm like, oh, you got to be frigging kidding me. I mean, they were winning with like 24-7 at halftime.
Well, we were talking about that earlier this week.
The crowd's going crazy. I'm like, wow, Samford is just getting stomped.
There's just something about that 24-7 score. It can be really deceiving sometimes.
Yeah. Well, ask the Falcons.
That has him, what, 28-7?
Yeah, I mean, that was just, if you're a professional football player and that's a Super Bowl, you will never, ever get that out of your system. You were that close to a Super Bowl ring.
You're not out of this yet, Kevin. It's such a week-by-week deal in the NFL, so that's...
Well, this is a big week right here.
Well, I think he's sunk.
If I run the table, I'm in first place. I'm not going to sleep tonight, I'm telling you. Me and Sean will be tied if I run the table. So, Steve, I think you and me are different on a lot, too.
I think you're the Andrea Doria.
If I run the table, I'm calling in Monday. You can count on that. My name will be Leroy.
Well, our five games will be done.
Leroy from South Windsor, Connecticut.
Well, our five games will be done by 4 o'clock on Saturday, so you can, or by 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh,
so you can.
Oh my God, that's going to be
text
brutal.
Me then, so.
Time to mow the lawn.
That's my plan tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, you got a big game to announce, so that's pretty cool.
How about
you excited?
Yeah.
Well, I've
How's
had
Jay
people
Paterno who... doing?
Jay's good. We had Jay in the show. He's doing well.
Is he still on football?
No, he's on a TV show with me, which he does well. The people have asked me, like, you know, night game, you know, like, what do you do during the day? I said, well, I'm probably going to cut my lawn. And they look at me like I'm insane. I'm like,
Your lawn's nice, beautiful lawn.
I said, what do you want me to do? Pace?
What are you supposed to do? You're announcing a game. I mean, you're not playing in it.
I know. So. I don't pace. I don't get nervous. I don't, you know.
You're doing what you love to do.
My lawn
and
needs to be cut.
You've been doing it since you were 6 years old. That would mean every day you're nervous.
Yeah. Hey.
You're living the dream. That's pretty cool.
My lawn needs to be cut. So I'm going to cut it. I got all day to go over the stadium.
Tomorrow night, 6, you and Jack here, WKOK. Have a great call. Can't wait.
All right, we're looking forward to it.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.